It's wonderful to know that we have a Savior who certainly died for us, but He also lives for us. He makes intercession on our behalf. And He is a God of infinite forgiveness. We come back to Him once again. We do not lose our salvation, but we certainly can lose our fellowship. And yet, every time we come back to Him, He again restores the fellowship. He restores the relationship. He forgives. There is no limit to His mercy and His love for His children. And we praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles once again. We're going to finish the message from this morning to Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. We talked about how this morning the Bible not only encourages gratitude, it really almost mandates gratitude. In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 50 and verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then we come to Luke chapter 17. This is a common passage, but just a few nuanced principles to draw from it this Thanksgiving season. True story that's happening here, in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And we understand that they had to stand afar off, because being lepers, they could not mix with the normal population. So they're crying across the hill to Jesus and his disciples. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Aren't you glad that the day that you cried asking God to have mercy on you and believing in the name of Jesus Christ, He did not turn you away? He turns no one away that cries in the name of Jesus Christ. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now the point here being that they were going to take an act of faith. He wasn't touching them. He wasn't going to speak directly to their disease of leprosy. He was simply asking them to take a step of faith. And the step of faith was, look, we're not going to do any outward healing here. I'm just telling you, go show yourself to the priest. You know, they could have simply asked him the question, why would I go show myself to the priest? I still have leprosy. They're going to mock me. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to tell me how foolish I am. Why am I here? They're going to stone me out of town is what they're going to do. But we'll obey. Let's give credit to all the 10 here in the sense that they took God at His word. They just simply, whatever you say, Lord. And it was while they were on the way to the temple that all of a sudden they started looking at their disease areas of leprosy, and the Lord healed them of their leprosy. And when he said that, and when he saw them, he said unto them, verse 14, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And here's the key phrase of the passage. And one of them. And how many? Let's try that again. And one of them. This is key to the passage. When he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, glorified God. Have you ever been around people that they quite frankly just forget that you're there, and they're just going to go into a hallelujah fit. They're going to have their own little praise meeting. They do not care what you think. They're not worried or concerned about how it's viewed by others. This is simply you're getting the opportunity to view a personal worship service between a believer and his God. I love those times. Growing up, we used to go to Sand Mountain Bible Camp in somewhere around Pisgah, Flat Rock in that area. Fred Vaught, they had a girls' home up there in the Sand Mountain area. And once here, we'd go to this family camp, and it was camp meeting. I mean, it was camp meeting. I mean, it was running around on the sawdust trail, running out into the woods. I can remember that this guy jumped up, and he's running around. Boy, he's shouting and hollering. Now let me see. Some of this, I don't always buy into all of this, because some of this is for the benefit of show, and you can tell, you can quickly often tell the difference. This guy, he's taken off running, And I'm 6 or 7 years old probably at that point in time. And I was just mesmerized by this because we didn't do this in our church. And he took off and he ran around the entire tabernacle. It's an outdoor tabernacle. Ran around this entire tabernacle and then ran out into the woods. And you could hear him praising, just, amen, praise God, yes. And that, whatever the sermon was, yes, amen, he died for me. And then all of a sudden you heard this, yes, praise God, thank God he died for me. Silence. I still don't know to this day if the man survived whatever he hit out in the woods. But I do remember him just forgetting that we were all there. That's what's happening with this leper. He's forgotten that there's people around. And it's just a personal praise service between him and God. He's shouting across, glorifying God. And then verse 16, here's the beauty. And he fell down on his face at his Christ's feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The key there is understanding the Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jews. The hero of the story, once again, as it was in Luke chapter 9, now it is in Luke chapter 17. Christ is saying, I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your creed is. I do not care what your ethnicity is. Every single person has the opportunity to come to Christ the Savior, and every single person has the opportunity to share praise with God. And Jesus answering said, here's the great question now. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger, referring again to him being of Samaritan heritage. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I had mentioned this morning the principles drawn from this passage. First, that gratitude is the proper response to God's blessing. God expects us to give gratitude. Now, nowhere in Christ's miracles, nowhere in his teaching did he ever make gratitude a demand. He didn't say to them, now you ought to thank me, now you ought to give thanks. But he did expect it, and he expects the same thing of you. Our God expects you to be grateful to him. He expects you to say thank you to him. He expects you to give praise to him. He expects it. Christ didn't do it in his earthly ministry, but in his word we find place after place that he says, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He expects it of us. Jesus never solicited it, but he certainly expected it. Secondly, we saw that gratitude compels an action of humility. You can always measure a person's gratefulness or the humility by their heart of gratefulness. You want to find a young person who's truly humble, you'll find a young person who's truly grateful. You want to find an adult that is truly grateful, typically you'll find an adult who's truly humble. The two walk together. They walk the same path together. If you want to find a person who's cocky, you want to find a person who is a know-it-all, you want to find a person who everything has to measure up to their standard of spirituality, they're constantly critiquing, they're constantly picking things apart, or they're constantly needing to be impressed as if they're the great gauge of what is worthy or unworthy, then you're typically looking at somebody who's dealing not only with a prideful spirit, but they're also dealing with an ungrateful spirit. This message, when I was getting ready for it, of all the points, this point that I preached on this morning, this is the one that hit me hardest. Greg Burdine made the statement, the measure of our gratitude reveals the measure of our humility. We looked at Luke chapter 18 when the Pharisee is saying, he's feigning gratefulness. He says, oh God, we thank thee. What was he thanking him for? That I'm more spiritual than Troy Fortenberry. Well, that's not true gratefulness. That's feigned pride. Lord, I'm so glad that I'm not like so-and-so. I'm so glad I'm not like them. I'm so glad that I'm righteous. If you ever come to the place, well, Pastor, how do you exactly explain that kind of gratefulness? Then I tell you what it's not going to be. It's not going to be a comparative to other people around you. When you're thanking God for righteousness, your comparative is going to be Jesus Christ, and you're going to find yourself always being very small when you're standing before a righteous God. Lord, I'm thanking you that you have made me righteous in your eyes. Though in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, in your eyes, because of Jesus Christ, I am as spotless as the very Lamb of God. Then let's go further on tonight. The last two points of the message. principles we can glean from this passage of Scripture. Number three, understand that gratitude, excuse me, is a rarity. True gratitude's a rarity. The point of the story is you just don't find it that often. You don't find a true heart of gratitude very often. In fact, I go so far as to believe that gratitude, true, sincere gratitude, is something that is spirit-led in a person's heart. I think it's something that has to be bred in them and exhorted in them. It has to be something that's compelled in them by the Holy Spirit's working. Because naturally, we're not grateful. Naturally, we're very selfish. We're very self-centered. Naturally, life is all about us. That's the reason some of us in here are so consumed about what people think. We're so consumed about trying to impress or please or held back by people around us. We're always concerned about whether others are thinking. The reason is because our thinking is so consumed with ourselves, and we're thinking that everyone else is going through the same thought process as we are. Well, they are, but in a very different way than you might expect. Years ago, Richard Wallace said it to me, my mentor. He said, "Shane, you wouldn't worry nearly so much about what people are thinking if you just realized how little they were thinking about you." People are as naturally selfish as you are. They're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about their own concerns. They're not worried about you. And the only time they often are worried about you is when how it affects them and how it's going to shed light on them. And yet we're so consumed with what people think. We're so consumed because our life is so consumed with ourselves. Gratefulness, true godly gratefulness, is a rarity. If you want to be a precious gem for the service of God, then find yourself being a grateful person. A person who is constantly whispering an attitude of thanksgiving from their life. I think that this story is a great indicator. I think it's in here for a purpose and a reason. And I think the indicator is this, that only 10% of us typically express our gratitude toward those around us. But I think it goes further than that. I think it even goes deeper than that. Not only do I think typically there's 10% of us that express gratitude, but I think really coming down to a personal level, I think that you and I probably typically miss about 9 out of the 10 opportunities to be grateful. You missed it. You missed it. We go through our lives missing opportunities to be grateful. We're so worried about critiquing. We're so worried about looking good. We're so worried about the cares, the material possessions that Cody was speaking of, that we fail to stop and express gratitude. I will say this to you. I still believe that Jesus is saddened by how few of us actually express thanksgiving to Him. I think it hurts our Savior. I think it grieves our Lord that you and I can come to Him with a laundry list of petitions. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, please give me that. Lord, please take this away from me. Lord, please do this for me. Please, Lord, don't do that to me. Please, Lord, this and this and that, but not this. I mean, we lay it all out for Him, but yet, thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. How that must grieve Him. How that must hurt Him. But on the other hand, let me say that He describes His relationship. God describes His relationship with mankind. We know that it's not exactly the equivalent, but it's the way that we can put our mind around it. He describes the relationship between the believer and Himself as a father and child. And so, keeping with that analogy that the Scripture gives us of that relationship, then imagine, if we would, for just a moment, parents, what a blessing it is when that child does express true gratitude. Just out of nowhere, they're very grateful. They're a very thankful child. Well, Pastor, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Well, let me ask you this. When's the last time you've expressed that? Young people, could I say this to you? Could I tell you that gratitude unexpressed is in essence and its effect ingratitude? That there is no fruit from gratitude that goes unexpressed. The same is true when it comes from a child to a parent. The same is true when it comes from a child of God to God our Father. Our gratitude, even if we feel it, it has to be something that is expressed. As much as he expects our sin to be confessed by our mouth, he expects our gratitude to be confessed by our life. We need to speak it to him. We need to live it out. I love how Burdeen brings this out. He says that thanksgiving and gratitude are two different things. Gratitude is the attitude. The attitude of gratitude, we talk about this almost every year, and it's a nice little catchy rhyme that we say, you need to have the attitude of gratitude. Listen, that's not enough. Well, you know, I just figured they knew that I was grateful. Well, how are they ever going to know if that attitude is never expressed in action? Any wife in here understands, we look at these young couples that are in love and they're dating, they're courting, and you watch them and they give these gifts to one another. They're always wanting to do these little things. By the way, let me say this to you, young ladies. You better watch how they treat you when you're dating. Because if they're not expressing their love and gratefulness for you when they're dating, don't expect it to happen after marriage. Don't talk yourself into something that's not going to happen. You watch them dating, they're doing these little things for each other. They're writing these little notes for one another. And how easily it is for us. We make the joke. Well, I told her I loved her when I said I do, and when it changes, I'll let her know. That is hilarious, unless you're living it. I really expected a lot of women to say amen to that one. Josh, I just kind of, they're cheering for me silently. You watch the young couples, and that's how they behave, and we look at that, and we say, oh, yeah, well, you know, they're young, and they're in love. Marriage is going to take care of that. You know, love is like a dream, and marriage is the alarm clock. They'll wake up someday. But that's not the way it should be, see? I think that's often true in our relationship with our God. Our God shows us in a million different ways every day how much he loves us. He shows us in a thousand different ways just in the past few hours how much he cares for us. And that should be our attitude back to him. You know, down deep, the fact is, you look at these young lovers, you look at these young people that you see, these young couples that have just gotten married, and they're sitting in church, and man, the arm is around the other one, and you know, they're generously touching one another and brushing the hand, and they look so lovingly in each other's eyes. And you know, and on the surface, we as men, Ferguson, don't try to make up for that now. On the surface, we look at them and we go, oh, but down deep, there's something that wishes we could go back to that time. The feelings of the tenderness, the gratefulness, the joy that we had when honestly we couldn't run out of things to talk about. We could sit there for hours, and if we did run out of things to talk about, it was okay. You remember the nights when you'd be on the phone? No, you say goodbye. I love you. I love you too. You gonna hang up? No, you hang up. Well, I'm not gonna hang up. The phone's left off the hook through the night. We make fun of that, but those were great days, weren't they? We ought to get back to that in our marriage. And we ought to get back to that in our relationship with our God. It's not just our gratitude being an attitude. It's our gratitude being an action, which is the giving of thanks. Thanksgiving's coming. Listen, before you decide finally and fully that you're going to make Thanksgiving all about you, it's going to be all about watching the football games. It's going to be all about going in this diabetic coma. It's going to be all about stuffing yourself and having all the family around, how wonderful it is. But think about how many times that we've gone through a Thanksgiving season, but how little actual Thanksgiving there is. How little actual time that we spend in the Word of God as a family together. You know, look, things change. I'm just telling you, it changes. This coming Thursday, this coming weekend, if you have the opportunity to be around family, You cherish that with everything you have. It's not going to be that way next year. There's going to be the missing place at the table. Yeah, you wasted that. You have other opportunity once again. Don't let this go by. Not once again, not another. Don't let it go by without stopping and giving a significant portion of your time to saying, Lord, I'm not just grateful in attitude. Lord, I'm going to be grateful this year in action. I'm going to be thanksgiving. Our gratitude is a very rare attitude. I love what Burdeen says. He says that being grateful without expressing thanks is just rude. Expressing thanks without truly being grateful is hypocritical. Have a sincere, grateful spirit that is shown through thanksgiving. Fourthly and finally, and then we'll finish the five very quickly, how to practice gratitude. Gratitude's an evidence of a deeper work of God. Beautiful phrase. In verse 19, he said unto this leper that was healed, he said to this one leper, the one, just and one of them, arise, go thy way. And here's a beautiful statement that he makes. Thy faith hath made thee whole. There were 10 cleansed that day of their leprosy, but only one heard the words, thy faith hath made thee whole. Only one heard this beautiful expression. Were the others cleansed? Yes, but I will tell you, they missed out on something. The other 9, they were no longer leprous, but I'll tell you, they were still somewhat sick at heart. They still didn't feel what this statement, can you imagine? I'm whole. And by the way, when you study that word, thy faith hath made thee whole, you'll find that that's not just referring to the leprosy, it's referring to the whole man. It's referring to a full cleansing. Why is this true? I'll tell you why it's true. Because this leper did not just experience and enjoy what Jesus Christ could do for him. He experienced what it was like to be with him. That's a completely different way of looking at the Christian life. That's the reason, honestly, I think that a lot of our modern ministries have gone off into a teaching that is so destructive for the normal outliving of the Christian in a day-to-day life. Because this is how we view it. We view it, well, you know what? I'm going to come to God because he's going to make me healthy. I'm coming to God because he's going to make me wealthy. I'm coming to God because he's going to meet all my needs. No, that is not the beauty of the Christian life. The beauty of the Christian life is the same as it is for any relationship. Well, I'm going to marry her because she makes me look good. I'm going to be with him because he's going to meet all my needs. By the way, let me say this to you. Don't get fooled. Young people, don't get fooled by this Hollywood romanticism of relationship. And this is where it comes into play now. He's not meeting my needs anymore. Well, if she's not meeting my needs anymore, then why are we even in this relationship? It's time to call it off. That was never the point of the relationship, is the issue of meeting needs for yourself. The issue of relationship is the enjoyment of being with one another, of knowing one another, of not walking through this life alone. That's the beauty of relationship. Don't miss this when it comes to our relationship with Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful for God because of what he does for me. I'm so thankful for God because he gives me this and he's blessed me with this. I think those things are very good, but if that's all that you're boiling down your Christian life to, you're missing out on so much that's available to you. Have you ever stopped and thanked the Lord? Lord, I'm so glad that you never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, I'm so glad that you are with me always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let it be so. Lord, I'm so glad that every morning when I wake up, I can open up my word. And Lord, as I open up the Bible, you speak to me through your Holy Spirit. You convict me through your words. Lord, you show me where I need strengthened. You show me where I need comforted. Lord, you're with me. I love what Kim sang this morning in that song. As a Christian, if you're never alone, then how can you be lonely? When you truly understand that he is with you, he'll give you another comforter. Ron Comfort hit on this, the gift of the Holy Spirit. that He is with you and you'll never be alone. That's the beauty of the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the deeper work of God. Not just what He's doing for Vance, but that He's with Vance. Not only what He's done for Tony, but that He's with Tony. The Lord's with me. He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. That's the beauty of gratitude. When's the last time you just said, Lord, I'm come to You. I'm not asking for anything. Lord, I'm coming to You, and Lord, when I'm here, I'm not even giving thanks for anything. Lord, in the midst of our cell phones, in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of the cars, in the midst of the overtime, in the midst of the bills, in the midst of the car horns, in the midst of, Lord, in the midst of the jobs, in the midst of the deadlines, Lord, I'm just here with You. I will tell you this, if you've ever been truly alone, then you'll understand the preciousness of relationship. Cherish that. How can you be lonely if you're never alone? Let me give you the five last ways to practice an attitude of gratitude. How can we develop an attitude of gratitude? I mentioned if you don't know Christ as Savior, then admit you're a sinner. Express that, your need of a Savior, first and foremost. But after that, the first five I gave this morning, thank God for every circumstance, be grateful for little things, say thank You more, considering what you possess rather than what you lack, hang out more with grateful people. Number six, every day tell someone why you appreciate them. Every day tell someone why you appreciate them. Harold Lemke, after the service today, and I'm not even sure why he had this with him, but he brought this up to me. He said, Pastor, in light of your message, I got a letter this week from, it was his investment counselor, which we don't have any investments, so we don't have one of those. But he says this, he put a quote in there. He said, quote from Fred DeWitt Van Amberg. He says, none is more impoverished than the one who has no gratitude. Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. That's a great statement. Gratefulness, it's one of those things. Gratitude, it's one of those currencies that you and I can print. We can basically print our own money. This gratitude we can constantly be kicking out. He says, none is more impoverished than the one who has no gratitude. Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. You know what he's saying? In your life, every day, tell someone why you appreciate them. Little thank you notes. Did you know when George H.W. Bush was in office, he wrote over 17,000 small little thank you notes, handwritten from the President of the United States. 17,000. Now tell me about your busy life where you can't express gratitude. See, it's not really about our business. It's not really about our schedule. It's more about our spirit. We forget to write thank you notes. Do you know why often we forget to write thank you notes? Because we forget to be thankful. We forget what she's done. We forget the small little ways she's been a blessing. We forget the way that God's blessed us with our children. Instead of griping about the diapers that you have to change, be thankful for the gift that He's given you in that child, and then hand it to the wife to change the diaper. Every day tell someone why you appreciate them. Number seven, do not let pride stand in the way of thanking God and others. This happens more to those who are close to us. It's very hard for us, particularly when we're in a bitterness battle, to express our gratefulness. Our pride won't let us do it because we're thinking in our minds, this is what we're saying, you know, if I say I'm thankful for them, then they're going to act like they never did anything wrong. We're just going to bypass what happened. No, I want them. I'm not going to give in on this. I'm, then they're just going to take that and run with it, and they're never going to deal with their issue. That's your pride. Two wrongs never make a right. I'm not explaining away or excusing their wrong, but your wrong is just as inexcusable. Don't let pride stand in the way of thanking God and others. Tonight, when you came to church, you two have been in each other's throat now for days. You've been arguing, you've been bickering. Things have not been right between you. And you know what's gone out of the door? Gratefulness. You've forgotten to be grateful for each other. You're just assuming on one another. Can I tell you something? Grave markers do not accept gratitude. Why that person sitting at the table across from you? Why that person sitting in the other easy chair beside you? While that person is going through life's battles with you, and maybe they're not doing everything right, maybe they're not everything that they should be, but I will tell you, if you express gratefulness to them, it will heal a lot that has been broken. Number 8, begin your day. Here's just practical things now. Begin your day, you're setting a tone for the day, by listing 5 things for which you are thankful. When a person's going through a time of depression, when they're going through a downtime, when you wake up, and I've given this many times in a counseling session, be very careful, be very wise, be very prudent in those first few moments of the day. Ben Franklin always said, as goes the morning, so goes the day. There's great truth in that. You're setting a tone for the rest of your day. It's the reason it's important to be in the Word at the first of the day. Why? Because you're setting the tone. So gear your thinking, gear your spirit in the right way at the very beginning of the day. So when you wake up, most people who wake up going through a depressive time or going through with living life with an ungrateful spirit, most often they'll wake up and you know what their first thought is? How am I feeling? How do I feel? Well, let me tell you what's going to happen, particularly the older that you get. There's going to be more days where you feel lousy than where you feel good. And if every decision you make is based off how you feel, oh, no, I'm going to turn over and go back to bed. Oh, I feel I'm still mad at them because we were in an argument before we went to sleep last night, and I'm telling you, I'm not letting that go now. Instead of asking how you feel, why don't you wake up first thing in the morning and say, how am I blessed? What is true about my life? What is true about my relationship with God? I'm a child of God. My sins have been forgiven. I have a home in heaven. My relationship with Him is secure. That's who I am. I'm a child of God. And then list just 5 things. Force yourself into this. 5 things that you're thankful for today. Lord, I'm thankful for this. And I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for this. And Lord, I'm thankful for this. You would be amazed how the tone of your day now has been set. When you start your day, list 5 things that you're thankful for. And get this, end your day thanking God for 3 things that happened to you today. Lord, I'm thankful that this happened today. Lord, thank you. And it could be very simple things. Lord, I'm thankful that this happened today. Ask yourself when you go to bed tonight, 3 things that you're thankful for that happened today. What would be one of those things? What would be one of them? Somebody tell me one thing. There's 350, 370 of us here. Surely one of us. What's one of the things you say? Just blurt it out for me. What's one of the things you can say? I'm thankful that this happened to me today. We got to go to church. Praise the Lord. We got to worship our God freely. We got to worship Him in spirit and truth. Somebody else was saying something. Pardon? Life. Lord, I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for when I woke up today that I woke up. Lord, I'm thankful for that. By the way, you'll miss that when that doesn't happen. Something else, something you're thankful for. That what? That you didn't fail your math test. Who gives their child a math test on Sunday? What a vicious parent. I'm thankful for family. Tanya said that. Tonight when you go to bed, what's something you can say, Lord, I'm thankful this happened to me today. Someone got saved today. What a beautiful truth, Austin. Thank you. You know what I'm thankful for? I'll tell you one of the things I'm going to say I'm thankful for. Today, Joy and I, We were just acting like complete old people today. We got done. We were going to go out to lunch with the saints. They weren't able to do that. Pray for Lisa's grandmother. She's in the hospital right now. We were going to go out to eat, but they weren't able to do it. The kids, they had this activity, this turkey bowl. Went down to Ruin and played football. So that meant that Joy and I were childless. Okay, so what are we supposed to do now? You know what we did? We started just driving around. Started talking about the restaurant we were going to go to. Started searching out this restaurant in Fallville. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm driving the truck thinking, I'm acting just like my parents. And then we ended up at Freight House in Hartsley. You ever been there? Here's the beauty of it. I like Freight House. It's a good restaurant. Haven't been there in years. I don't think I've ever been to the front dining room. We ate out in the front dining room. But the beauty of it is not what we had. It wasn't where we're at. That it was just me and my wife. Nobody interrupting. Nobody making gross sounds. Nobody else I had to pay for. Just me and my wife. And we sat there and talked and talked and talked. I'm thankful that that happened today. I'll never forget it. I'd only been here about 2 or 3 years. I share this almost every Thanksgiving. I'm done. We had a testimony time, somewhat like we're going to have this Tuesday. Come to the Pie and Praise Fellowship. It's very important. Tuesday night. You'll be grateful and glad that you did. This was one of those services like on a Sunday night. It was a Sunday night, and we did the testimony time. We were passing around the microphone. I love Jonathan Nelson. He's a member of another church now, but I love Jonathan Nelson. One of the most simple, just sincere believers you'll ever run into. And at that point, I was guessing he was probably around 19, 20 years of age, very young. And this is what he said. It was the most simple and one of the shortest testimonies, but one of the most powerful that I've ever heard. The simplest truths are the greatest, and so are the simplest men. He said these words. He said, Pastor, I really just want my life to be one big thank you note to God. And then he sat down. It was one of those drop the mic moments. How do you give a testimony after that? I just want my life to be one big thank you note to God. I want to be that one. Let's stand together tonight.